Gracious Lord,
Master.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace today. For another time, Lord, we can be together here, together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be able to come afar as a family of the Lord to worship you. Through the Lord, there's not just 10,000 reasons why we worship you. There are more than that, Lord, we can't even count. We can never count our blessing.
Amen.
If we were to name them one by one, Father, for all that which you have done for us, Lord, there are many things we can't even recall. The things that you have done for us. Reasons upon reasons, oh Lord, that we worship you. The little thing you have done for us, the big things, the things that we have gone through that you help us and guide us through. Things, oh Father, sometimes when we sit down and we cry because we feel so frustrated with life journey. But yet, Lord, if we can just be still a little while and you speak to us, Lord, and we realize, Lord, it is for our good. All things work together for good to them who love you. To them that are called according to your grace and your purpose, Father. We thank you for today that you are working a work in our life to bring us, O Lord, to the place of perfection in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. This morning, right now, Father, bless thy servant, bless thy people as the word is being ministered, Father. Let it sing into our hearts, Lord. We thank you, Father. Ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Yeah, that's the month of October, November, and end of the year coming up. It's a wet, damp, humid, you know, weather, and many people are getting sick with flu and coughing. Zohar didn't get it from me. Don't listen to him. He didn't get it from me. He got it from somebody in the airplane. Because we know we are all flying, and Singapore is such an island, everybody felt feel. I felt a bit claustrophobic, you know. You get out of the home, you see people, you get out of home, you see cars, you get out of home, you know, there's no practically countryside that you can really, you know, open up and say, oh, look at that, all the green trees and nobody's around, you just breathe fresh air. Yes, I was watching the video of Sister Gretti on Norway. I shall bring it here. It's beautiful, Norway is very beautiful. But if you want to stay where she lives in, that is Bergen, it says 300 days in a year, it is always raining. So, you got up in the rain. That's the way it is. But thank God that we have our life here. Everybody have different, you know, born differently. And you wonder why we are here. And why the brother is from Malaysia, and sister's from Malaysia. And some of you from India came here, some of you from Philippines, you came here too. So we are where we are, you know, when the God bless here and the especially when I see little children, I look at them with wonderment as well as wonder what's in life for them in this, if there is a future here on this earth. And when I see the children here in Singapore, and then when I look at pictures and news of children suffering over in the Rohingya people, those in Sudan, those in, you know, in Somalia. It breaks my heart. And just think that the world has to come to a place where Jesus Christ must return and take over. Amen? Because this way is just sick. Really very sick. Not only just because people are dying, because the whole system of the world is corrupt. Political system, the religious systems, the financial systems, everything. It's very, very uncertain. You know, a lot of countries. Look at what happened in Catalonia. Is that what it's pronounced? Catalonia? Yeah. You see, everybody wants to be independent. It's an over in the Philippines, so they want to be independent in some other, you know, little places. So people are fighting for independence, and human beings are wanted to be independent. Everybody wants their right to come to that place. But we continue with our message that I left out last week, that we want to come to that place also, that we cannot be independent. We all depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We depend in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is not just a member. You are a member, but as a member, you are not a body. You are just a member of the body. And you are not an island. You know, you are not all rolled into one. Because the body of Christ the head of the church, and we are just a member. So every one of us therefore must understand what authority is, what maturity really is. So let us go over to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the way we left off. And let's quickly just recover something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, what we talked about here last week, just recap very quickly about the wisdom that Paul is talking about. That we need the wisdom of God. Here in verse 1. I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing word of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I want to say this, is that this verse has been taken out by many to say that Paul was talking about that he is not just preaching the gospel, he demonstrated the power of God by miracles and healing and all this. This is not what Paul was talking about. You know? Because out there in the world today, we can see many people can do miracles. But there's no power of the word of living the life of the word of God. And of the wisdom of the word of God, the word God was trying to tell his people. We also know that there are people who are in paganism. They can go and pray to their deity and they get healed. And we know that Satan does not heal. So how did they get the healing? And that's why we people do not understand the mystery. Because in the Bible, God, Jesus can talk about the seed faith. All you have to do is have faith. He didn't say faith in anything. Or faith in God or anything. He says if you have faith, like a mustard seed. I have seen miracles, people just believe. There are men like, I remember John Wayne. You know John Wayne, cowboy and actor? Yes. He was dying of cancer. He had I can't remember what part of the body he had cancer, and the doctor would give him certain months to live. But he said he wanted to beat the odds of living. He lived for a long time. You know what he did? He had faith. And his faith was in eating beef. The amount of beef that he eat, I don't know how is it possible. But faith can do a wonderful thing. I don't know. You know, the Bible says if you have faith, speak to the mountain, be removed, and it will be removed. Jesus can never talk about faith in God. Just faith. Faith in anything, faith you trust. You know. There are people who have faith in themselves to overcome illness, to overcome a lot of things. And it is recorded, I saw in the an article on the internet about a man who had been fasting for so many years and not dying. And suddenly he's wondering how he could do that. You know. He brought his body under subjection and controlled his body. You know how the people can control the body? And put themselves into hibernation. You all know that. Where does it come from? That's why these are mysteries that is out there that people don't understand. And because they do not understand, they believe that this is a God, that is a God, that is a God. Everything's upon this earth, you know, trees are God and mountains are God. And they don't understand this. Because God, when He created the heavens and the earth, there are a lot of energy out here in space. There are a lot of things the scientists are trying to fathom, to try to understand. Right? How this whole thing works. Look at the human DNA. What is that? If you ever been onto the internet and on YouTube, there is one called the Atheist movie. The Atheist Delusion. Or It's a movie made by a Christian group of people who went out there, interviewed people, and asked those people, are you atheists? Are you, you know? And those people that he interviewed, those who claim that they are atheists, he just posed them questions, In the end, many of them began to doubt that there is such thing as, that there is truly a supernatural being. Because what does the DNA, how does the DNA work? You know what DNA is? Look at all those ribbons under the microscopes, all those coating. How does a computer work? You have your program, you have the codes to make it work. Isn't it so? Then how does that DNA in a human strand, how does that work? And all you have, that DNA in the chromosome, in the sperm, and there's also that 23 over in the female, the mother and the father, and it comes together, voila! A lot will happen. How does it work? Now you talk about artificial intelligence. How does artificial intelligence work? Somebody has to make a program, somebody write a program, and the computer will analyze, okay, this, and you add something to its own, something like that, and it works. So that over time, you get artificial intelligence. And when God put those chromosomes in the male sperm and the female egg, and they just mix together, how does it work? There are codes in it, there are mysteries in it. And then you have to realize that this does not come about by itself. Truly, it doesn't come about by itself. Just as much as this watch does not come by itself. I used to talk to my friend over in my colleague in the hospital who doesn't believe in God. He said, thing that says, I don't believe in God. Things exist by themselves. This thing just happened. I said, the same thing with this watch. It just happened. Then he said, oh, you're mad. Man, that's God. I said, I'm mad. You know how I get it to work? How do I get this watch? I just pick up some springs and plastic and put it in a box and shake it. After so many years, I open up, here comes that watch. Now I say, you say, I'm stupid. Then you're one of the most stupid then. Most foolish then. To say this whole universe, and you came from what? Came from a monkey, and a monkey came from a what? A cat, and then a cat from a what? A frog, and a frog from what? From micro bacteria somewhere in the sea. You see, man, people just do not understand that there is a mystery in the wisdom of God. And Paul said, I'm coming here not to entice you with my wisdom, my intellectual understanding, science. He says, watch that YouTube, and I had a good laugh. Richard Dawkins, the most famous, well-known atheist. They make a fool of themselves in front of all the audience. And he didn't even understand why people are laughing at him. Something come up from nothing, he said. He was trying to defy what is nothing. And how can nothing produce something? He was trying to defy and make a fool of himself when he contradicted himself. And everybody was laughing. He said, why everybody is laughing? And he couldn't even understand why people are laughing. Nothing comes from nothing. And something don't come from nothing. Obviously, there has to be a first source, isn't it? But if you ask me how the first source comes from, I can't answer that. Only when you die, when you stand before the Lord, ask Him where He comes from. If He doesn't exist, then nothing exists. How He exists, I don't know. You ask Him. The question is, the thing is, my answer is this to everyone. I am here. I am because He is. I would not have been here if it wasn't for Him. Right? Obviously. You see? That's right, in the Bible, in the book of John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. In the beginning came forth the Word that created all this. The Word came from who? Came from the one source that is life. So Paul is trying to tell the Corinthian, who was in just a mess. And you know, as I said last week, Corinthian, the believer in this city of Corinth, many of them were so carnal. Very carnal. They commit a lot of immorality. And many of them also think that they are wise. They have their own wisdom as what they think they understand about God. Remember, the New Testament was not yet written. You understand that, don't you? And Paul was writing to these believers then, for what he had heard that was going on. The mess that they were caught in. Yes, sir. So Paul said, I come to you not in the wisdom of men, but in the power and the demonstration of God, to make you understand. Paul said, I did not receive it from anybody else, I received it from God. All that which he have received, he said, I didn't get it from man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. See? Alright, let's continue right down. Verse 7, he says, alright, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Yeah, surely a lot of things that we speak about in the Bible, it's a mystery to many people. They can't understand. It's so much so that we have denomination that says that God is one and yet three. What we call it, a mystery. But certainly that's not the mystery of the Bible. The only thing the Bible talks about, the mystery of God, is that God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Remember what Paul said? God in Christ. Now, let's go to it. If you do not know where it is, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angel, preached unto the Gentile, believe on in the world, receive up into glory. So that's the mystery. This is one of the mystery. Simple enough, that God was in Christ. God was manifest in the flesh, sin of angel, reconciling the world, preach the gender, and so on and so forth. You see. And yet, of course, this is the wisdom of God, that he hid this mystery and revealed it to those who are his people. But to the world, this whole thing is foolishness. Even as Paul said that God desired that the preaching of the word is foolishness to the world. People look at us as foolish people when we preach the word of God. You know. So, when you go, let's go back to 1 Corinthians again, chapter 2. So we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Of course, that the prince of the world, the educated people of the world, they will not be able to understand. Alright? And in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Huh? We have received not the spirit of the world. And as I said this, for us to be able to be matured, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said last week, when you read the Bible, and the Bible said the Holy Spirit fall upon the people, it's different from the verse where we read that the Spirit of Christ that is in you. The Holy Spirit may fall upon a congregation of people. The people may dance and shout and prophesy and do miracles. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is in them. Remember? That's why I said a lot of people don't seem to understand it. Because the only way to find out is to go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, 23. These three verses. Where Jesus said, in the last day, many of will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I've done this. I cast out demons in your name. I preached the gospel. I did many wonderful work in your name. Jesus said, I never knew you. You depart from me, you workers of iniquity. There are a lot of people that know the power of the word of God. There are many people that know the power of the name of Jesus Christ. They will use it for their own filthy purposes. That's why we have a lot of rich preachers out there in the world. They demonstrate all this power and all these things and collect money for the congregation and keep it for themselves. See? But yet Jesus Christ told them, I never knew you. Why? No matter what you do in my name,
You are not doing it right according to my word. What was the will and the purpose of God? That you do everything to His glory, according to His will, according to His purpose that He has set down for you even before the foundation of the world. You know. And the iniquity, but if I talk about mystery and iniquity, or iniquity in itself, it's a sin that God hates the most. A lot of people don't even understand this mystery of iniquity. Look at this iniquity that Abraham committed, Isaac committed, Jacob committed. They are terrible sins. And God hates that the most because He put the other party is at a disadvantage. So when you preach the gospel, even as a Christian, as your life that you live, use the name of Jesus Christ for His glory. Live the life for His glory. Now let's just go on to verse 18. Chapter 3, sorry. Verse 1 to 14. Brother Henry, can you read it?
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. But hitherto ye were not able to bear, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are not yet, for ye are yet carnal. For as whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, and are ye not carnal?
That's right. There are three kinds of being here we have on this earth: the natural man, the spiritual man, the carnal man. The natural man is just men out there. Like you and I, we are all natural as well. Natural people need natural food. But we are also spiritual men. Spiritual men in that we have access to the Spirit of God and His Word because we are born of His Spirit. But the carnal man, the natural man can be carnal. But the Bible uses when it speaks of the carnal man, it's always referenced to the spiritual man. There's a Paul, many, it said, many of you are yet carnal. When you have carnality, carnality is anything that satisfies this flesh. The emotion, the spirit, the desire, everything about our makeup. If we desire the thing that's contrary to the word of the Lord to satisfy this flesh, we are carnal. You know. And that's why in the Corinthian church you have, as Paul later on said, you there is a man who even desire the father's wife and even slept with the father's wife. Can this be allowed? Now I want to say this again, and remember I taught you this, that there is a timeline how God deals with people. How He deals with people in the past, from the beginning of time, Adam, and now, two different ways. Because as God's revelation is given, then we follow what God gives. And we don't look back. Now that we have come to this place of grace, don't look back to the law. Do you understand? What was given in the day of Moses, or what was given to Abraham in his days, and what was later on given to Moses, and then later on to the prophet. They are all progressive revelation. God revealing Himself from at each different period of time. So when we move forward, we don't go and look back. That they can do that, so can I. Huh? No. Abraham, what he did was wrong. When he did it to his wife, Sarai, telling Sarai to lie because he feared his own life. Told his wife Sarai to tell the Pharaoh that, well, that he was her brother. And later on, even when Sarai was 89 years old, and Abraham was 99 years old, and God visited them, and you know the body changed, right? The body changed, that Sarah became very beautiful and young again. And when they passed through the land where Amalek was the king, Abraham again felt that he might be, you know, killed as well, and Amalek would take the wife as hers, as his own. So he again told Sarah to lie. Now, when we look at it, Abraham seemed to be not learning anything from his first experience when the Lord dealt with the Pharaoh. Then again later on, when his son was born, his son did the same thing. Isaac did the same. Now, when we look at this example that is written in the Bible, can we say that because Abraham did that, we likewise could do the same? Tell a little white lie. But that's not actually a white lie. That's iniquity. It puts somebody in danger. If you tell a little white lie for your own self, then that's your problem. But you tell your wife to tell lies like that, that put her in a situation, if she was to be married to Pharaoh or Amalek, then she would have committed what? Adultery. And so would the Pharaoh. Do you understand this iniquity? So we cannot look back. I know Christians, many Christians have talked to me like this. Oh, you know, Abraham was, that was a little white lie. That's alright. Really alright? But they have not understand the mystery here. They didn't understand the mystery of God. Paul was trying to say, I come to you in the wisdom, not a man. I'm trying to help you understand the mystery of God. So when they thought has to move along, here came the law. That God gave Moses the law and gave it to the children of Israel. So why then did he put the law? Was to keep the people in the way. Now the law will keep the people in the way. That if you do such and such a thing, you will be dealt with severely. But before there was the law, it was not there. Do you understand this? Alright, let's continue now. Verse 18 to 23.
Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. But it's greater. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ and Christ in God.
Yeah. Let no man deceive himself. Now there's two kind of deception. Alright, one, when you're deceived by somebody, okay, an external source. The other one is when you deceive your own self. Now we know the Bible, Proverbs said, the elect cannot be deceived, right? When he said the elect cannot be deceived, he's talking about what? The elect cannot be deceived by an external source. Do you understand? But the Bible said the elect can be deceived. Oh no, when I said that, the printing of the Brahma is going to come up to me. The Bible tells us in many places in the Bible, do not deceive thyself. That's why here Paul said, let no man deceive himself. You understand? Can you deceive yourself? A lot of people say, nah, I cannot deceive myself. You cannot deceive yourself? That's how deceiver fall. That's how he fell. He deceived himself. An original cannot be deceived by another source from outside of himself. There's been a discussion with somebody over in the States. How then did the evil come along? How did evil exist? Where cometh the evil? After all, if God is good, then where did come evil? I already said this before. God is all power. His life. Every attribute that he has is within him. Attribute to be a father.
attribute to be a savior, attribute to be a healer, a creator. Everything that is within is in him. Evil, where does it come from? If I tell you that it comes from God, he says, wow. God says, I create both good and evil. But where does evil then come from then, if it didn't come from him? But God never forced evil. When he created, he knows that man must have a choice, I told you last week. Because he himself had a choice. He can create a beautiful, wonderful world, or he could create a world that is full of violence and fighting and corruption. That's why in mythology, in India, there are many gods. Kali is one of the all their destruction. Huh? And even the Greek and even the European gods, some of them, they are god of destruction as well. What? How did they get this idea? God is all powerful, but God is good. But because he had this attribute, he gave man the choice. Like he had his own choice. He has a choice. Look at how he created this beautiful universe and the thing that's upon the earth for man to enjoy. And he gave man this freedom because he doesn't want man to be a robot. He can't create man to be a robot, because if he created man in his own image, whatever he is must be in the man. Like father, like son. So there's so many created the angel in his own image. They all have the freedom, the choice to choose. And Lucifer deceived himself because he thinks that after all, I'm beautiful, I'm all wise. I'm wise. That's a part about the wisdom of man. That's why here you feel that he being a beautiful angel, he has the wisdom. So he chooses, I want to build my throne above the stars of God. You can read that in Isaiah and Ezekiel how he felt. He wanted to be like God. See? He wanted to be worshipped. Like today, people like to be worshipped. People like to be, you know, be lifted up and put on a pedestal. See? And that's where the problem comes in. So Lucifer deceived himself. Now, when you look at Adam and Eve, Adam had a free choice. That's all right. But you know something about Adam? Adam can deceive himself. But he was the son of God. And God knew that he would not fall. He would choose the right way. And Satan could not try to deceive and bring Adam down by going directly to Adam. So the only way for the fall to happen, God had to create a woman from the side of Adam. So there is no longer, that Eve was not a direct creation, was a byproduct. Now this mystery is kind of hard for people to fathom. Huh? Because in all animal creation, God created male and female in pairs. But in man, they were not created in pairs. God created Adam first, and then from the side of Adam, he took the rib. But to the denomination, we were just saying, oh, the man came, the woman came from the man, and so on and so forth. But there is a mystery hidden here. That's why Satan used the serpent to go to Eve and cause her to fall. Now, remember this, Adam and Eve, they were innocent. They are the beginning of mankind, and they must be learning. Even though they already created mature adult, they must learn. Learn and grow in maturity and understand what authority is. You know. So who was the authority of Adam? It was God. Who was the authority of If. That's Adam. But when the serpent came along to Eve, did Eve seek the authority of Adam? No. She was deceived by the serpent to believe that you can take that fruit, partake of that sex act, and they learn a lot of knowledge. Oh yes. That's why we have a problem in the world today. Over this sexual issue. People learn, I think they're mature. Young people, they're mature, 30, 40, 15 years old. Get themselves involved in sex and think, oh, I know something already about life. And that's why in ancient times, sexual orgy was being practiced, was practiced in temples. Because in that they think that they have knowledge. But the only thing, but they must tell you this one thing, that's carnal. That's carnal knowledge. Huh? You can see there are a lot of people that boast about how many women they slept with, just in the newspaper, in just like yesterday and today. The man who had HIV slept with, you know, different women. Because many people think that when you have sexual power, you can sleep along with many women or many men. You think that you are somebody. You can brag about it. That's very bad. And so the church in Corinth are just like that. They have this immorality that is going on, and the common knowledge that they have. From what they learn? From the Hellenistic culture? The Roman culture that they have? Or from that which was traced back to the time of Babylon? Now all your knowledge that you have, that's good. Just like Brother Clement was saying about Adam. You know, my grandson, when he comes to my home, he will look at a bus guide. You know the book, bus guide. He will look at, oh, bus number 111. He goes down to downtown Orchard Road. You know. Then he asks me what number I want to take. I'll just tell him a number. He'll flip over there. He'll look, look. Oh, this one's going to Orchard Road. Oh, they go to Choa Chu Kang. He knows. He tried to sort of memorize all this number of bus where he goes or something. But that's good. That's what, that is only his world. But that's not everything. And so the same thing with us. All our career, all our study, all our education is not the whole world. It is only in our own self. We create this world for ourselves to be immersed in it. But there's one thing that we should immerse in, and that's the Word of God. And that's what Paul said to these Corinthian people. You have all this carnal knowledge that is around you. You have all these thoughts. Even he spoke in Hymenus, Philetus, who were announcing the rapture, I mean the resurrection is over. Where did they get the idea? Even today, there are people that said, no, the rapture is not going to happen. Or those that said, the rapture is already over, we don't need to have communion and foot washing anymore. Oh, Brother Bram is coming back. Where did they come from? And you know, if we don't get ourselves out of this mess, if there was this household of Chloe, Paul heard from them what was going on in among the believers in Corinth. If nobody told that problem to Paul, Corinthian church would be really a mess. But Paul loved them. That's why he had to write this harsh letter to them. And sometimes, you know, people don't want to receive harsh letters. They cannot accept the truth. A little criticism. Why? You feel hurt so bad? Can we not accept the criticism? If we don't, then we can never grow. And Paul spoke to them about it. Because there was one person in this place in Corinth got very much hurt. You know. Paul promised that he would go, but he realized that the person was feeling so much hurt that he didn't want to go. Then he wrote this letter. Yes. It's the same over there in the Philippines. A person got so much hurt about something, when I went out, he doesn't want to see me. What's going on now? What is that? Why is the pride so in you? If we cannot subject ourselves to authority, that means to say that we are not matured. A little criticism, a little trying to tell you something, you feel so hurt that you give it up. Huh. Alright, let's go on. 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Of course, I said this. It is so true, isn't it? So let us not glory in the things of men, let us glory in God. Chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 10.
Now ye are fools, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth to us the apostles' lust, as it were appointed to them. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, for ye are wise in Christ. Ye are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised.
So you know, Paul is, when Paul wrote all these letters, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 4 Thessalonians, all this, and he said to the, when he sent out this letter to the church, he told them that all this letter of mine, let it be read in all the other churches as well. That is to say, what happened in Corinthian church, those in Thessalonica knew about it, right? Sure, of course. Those in Galatia read it, heard about it. What was the purpose for? Because Paul had the authority. And if people don't accept their authority, that means they're not mature. They want to have their own way. They think that they're wise. Now, Paul said this in this passage here. What is an apostle? Look at what he says here, verse 8. Verse 9. For I think that God has set us for the apostle last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectator unto the world, and to angel and to man. You know, Paul is writing about this part because in his mind there was this, because he was a Roman. Remember? Paul was a Roman citizen. What, a Roman citizen, right? Yeah. So what were you writing here? You know, in these certain festivals, festivities, where the citizens of Rome would come together and watch some kind of a show. In the arena, you know, before the chariot race, you know, about banner stuff. And usually what they have this parade. Great men come first and so on and go right down to the end of it. And the end of this, you know, train of people, the last people that comes to, up at the end, they are the ones that are being fed to the dogs, to the bear, to the lions in the arena. They will make a spectator of. You remember? You understand what I'm saying? The great men will march first, like in a parade. You know, then they come out, a different group, then they come out to the end. This is the one that everybody looking at. Paul said, we apostles are just like that. We are being made a spectator of. We are the one that is being looked upon to be put to death. Why? He said, God make us like that. And people don't understand. They don't understand the ministry. So what is an apostle? And so these people think that the apostles and pastor, prophet, evangelist, and teacher, and all these five ministries, they're all the same, they're all equal. If they are equal, then the pastor also be put to death and put at the end of the whole, you know, train of parades and make to be fed to the animals in the arena. Oh. Back in the 80s, early 80s, 1980, I would say. How many years ago is that now? 30? 70 years ago. I don't remember how many of you remember when you were with me. When we have our fellowship in Bukit Timah. You know, Brother Horton came along. I didn't know Brother Horton. Brother John, do you know him?
No.
How many of you have met Brother Horton? Oh, Brother Jimmy, Brother Cutty.
Yeah.
They're all young at that time, of course, it was 30 odd years ago. You know, the first time I knew Brother Horton was I only knew his name. That he was the brother of Joe Horton. And they were the founder of the Letter Rain movement in the early 20th century when Brother Bam was around. So I went to the States, and on the way back home, you know, we have to stop by at San Francisco, and then we decided to pay him a visit at Oakland. So, well, on the way back, the brother fetched me, the deacon fetched me, and my family, my wife, and Adam, I mean, Zoe, and Zoe, they were just young at the time, and Zoe was just a year old. And we arrived at the church. The church was closing their service, but they were waiting for me. Because someone told Brother Horton that, well, there's a brother and a family coming to visit. So when I went in, Brother Horton called me up from the back to the pulpit and stand with him. And he thought that I was maybe somebody who was working in the Singapore Airline. You know, because there are a lot of Singapore Airline believers that flew to San Francisco back then and would pay him a visit and fellowship in his church. He called me up and he told the congregation, yeah, this brother is from Singapore and, you know, come here for paying us a visit. And he was just talking to me, and then he said to me, he said, brother, after he asked my name, he said, Brother Gunn, I believe God has a great work for you to do. And that's all he said. I didn't say nothing. I didn't know. I didn't say anything about myself. He didn't know I was a pastor then. So a few months later on, one of the elder brother who was with us told me, he said, Brother, can we not invite Brother Horton to come to Singapore, you know, and minister since he's going to the Philippines? I said, well, of course, why not? So Brother Horton came. And that was in the month of November. So we had a few nights of services. And it was on the third night. Now, when he came the first night, actually in the evening, we were all out there in the car park, because we have a space out there in this village home. And we were standing around, you know, waiting for the time. And he was looking around, and he talked to me, and said, Brother, are you the pastor of this church? I said, I am. He said, oh, I didn't know. I thought that you were just a believer. And then on the third night, while he was ministering, you know, he at least gave a discernment and gave a knowledge. He discerned a brother, and then he discerned even Sister Aggie. And we know it was right on the dot. So he continued preaching, and I was sitting on his right hand side in the pulpit, and there was a organ there. The brother was playing the organ. So he was preaching, and then suddenly he stopped and he turned around and looked at me, and he said, Brother Gunn, you have an apostolic ministry. The time has come for you to move. And I was waiting for the Lord. I was waiting for the Lord already with fleas put before the Lord to let me know when I will resign from my nursing career and move. And when he said that, I was in a state of shock, literally. Because I felt an overwhelming spirit, my face would just turn white. You know. So then we have this ministration of Brother Horton, start getting the people to pray and worship, and he went out there and started to pray for people. suffer a prayer for all those in the congregation, getting them to receive the Holy Ghost baptism. And I was standing up there when he went out there among the believers, and the brother was playing the organs softly, and they were singing. And then after a while, the Lord came upon me and said, "Pray and prophesy over the brother who was playing the organ." And he was there playing the organ softly. And I told the Lord in my heart, when I was standing, I said, "I'm not going to call him. I want him to stand and kneel down at the altar." Because we have a little raised platform, about 6 inches, I believe, or 12. I said, "I want him to come up here, where I'm standing. Then I'll prophesy over him." So we continued singing, and I was just worshiping, my eyes closed, and just. And then suddenly the music stopped. He stopped playing his organ. And I just worshiped, and Brother Hoffman went up there and prayed for people, and everybody was raising their voice, praying. That suddenly, as I opened my eye, the brother was kneeling down before me. Right before me, he was kneeling down. And I, on his on the organ was his Bible. So I took the Bible from the organ, his Bible. And I opened up the Bible to the center of it. And he was just worshipping, raising his hand like this while he was kneeling down. I put his two hands together and I used his own Bible and wrapped his hand. And I prophesied. Now the thing about this prophecy is that sometime, I said this before, if there every time when there is a prophecy coming forth, don't raise your voice. Because what happened was that brother or sister, they were kneeling down at the pew or the chair where they were, and they were praying. They heard me prophesy and they raised their voice. "Hallelujah, hallelujah." And I had to raise my voice higher because I want the brother to hear. Well, something took a hold that the brother heard the first part of the prophecy. He didn't hear the second part of the prophecy. And he was so happy. Well, then a couple of weeks later, he called me up on the phone. "So, Brother Gann, I want to come to tell you something which God showed me." I said, "Sure, come." So he came to my home. "So, Brother Gann, do you remember a prophecy that a dream that I told you about?" I said, "Which one?" "You have told me a lot of dreams, a lot of visions. You know, and I heard it. What you told me. So what is it you're referring to?" "Do you remember? I told you about the dream that where I was out there preaching and they caught hold of me and forced me to wear a robe of half silver and half green and throw me into prison. And then after that I found myself again in a dream preaching and they came and caught hold of me again and forced me to wear a robe of half silver and half brown and threw me into the prison. And after that, I woke up." "Do you remember the prayer again?" I told him, "Yes, I remember the dream. I believe that I have interpreted that." He said, "No, you did not interpret, but God gave me the interpretation. Just as the Lord who gave me the song that I wrote," "it's the same God who gave me the song, gave me the interpretation to the dream." I said, "Brother, I did interpret the dream." He said, "No." I said, "Let me recollect it." I said, "Do you remember the first time you came to me and told me about this dream? And I told you that time that I do not know the interpretation. The only thing that I know about is that the silver is the word of God. Do you remember?" He said, "Yes, you told me that the silver is the word of God. But that is not what it is." I said, "Hold on a minute. I'll give you the interpretation right now. And I'll tell you why the interpretation was given to you. But before you tell me your interpretation," I told him this. I said, "Brother, you didn't hear the interpretation. It was given to you on that day of Brother Horton. Do you remember the prophecy?" He said, "Yeah, I remember. You said that But the Lord had called me to be an evangelist. In fact, that was what he was looking for. A confirmation from the Lord that he was called to be an evangelist. I said, yes. He said, did you hear the second part of it?
No.
And that's what the problem was. Because he was so excited about God calling to be an evangelist, everything that he didn't hear anything else. I said, let me interpret to you right now. I said, that dream, do you remember you are preaching in your dream? And they caught hold of you, they are the spirit that caught hold of you. You flew to different places, different city, different airport in the world, and when you land there, you go to a nearby church in the end time message. And there, when you hear a different one, you went to Amsterdam, you went to Auckland, and whatever else you go. Alright? You're hearing the minister preaching. And that's why the problem starts, brother. You went up there preaching as if you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they are the spirit that caught hold of you. And they force you to wear a robe, half silver, half green. Silver is the word of God. Green is something that's beginning to grow. And you're thrown to prison. The second time, you have a robe of half silver and half brown. Brown shows maturity. When a plant turns matured, it turns brown. And the third stage, there's nothing for you to see. Because what? The third stage is the bearing of fruit. You go to all these churches, you come back. The Spirit is warning you that if you mix the Word of God with the Word of man that you hear, you are being locked up in prison. And that's why, do you remember the Bible dropped off from your hand? I said, if you do not take heed to it, the Bible will drop from your hand. I let the Bible drop when I was prophesying over him. I said, that exactly is what is happening. He said, no, Brother Dan, that dream I have is not the way you interpret it. And let me interpret it to you. Let me show you something, brother. What we read earlier on, Paul said, do not deceive yourself. Right? And that's what man is. The pastor. He told me, the Lord who gave me that song is the same God who gave me the interpretation. My brother and sister, don't use that. God has given me all these songs after all these years. I never think about writing songs. I've written poems and poetry. But those songs are so special written because God just gave me the word that flows out from my mouth. Whether I'm in the car or whether I'm in the shower. You see, even though there's a song I want to write, but it doesn't come in, I can't write it. But you know, I don't take that to boast because God gave me the song, therefore I'm anointed. No! Huh? God can anoint the donkey to speak, isn't it? To talk to Balaam. So don't think that you are not a donkey. It could be a donkey for all we know. There are a lot of them out there. They get the anointing. So Paul talks about the anointed, false anointed one at the end time. Remember? Right? What the book of Matthew said about? There are many false Christ, false prophet in the end time, right? Right. They're falsely anointed, but the word that they speak, not according to the word of God, that's why they're called the false anointed one. Not the ones. So he told me, he said, oh, let it end. The green is you. The brown is Sam. The first church there. He said, how is it so? How is it that I'm green and that guy over there is brown? Oh, because, that I'm brown. That Sam is green. Says, how was it so? Say, oh, because Sam is a greenhorn. He doesn't know how to control the people of the church. But you are mature, you know how to control the people of the church. Oh, so how do I control them? He said, because you're a pastor. Sam was a pastor. And any church that has a pastor is under a Nicolaitan spirit. And later I realized, of course, he believed in the fourfold ministry. A church does not have a pastor. When there is a pastor in the church is under Nicolaitan. The man who wrote that book is so deceived. And he deceived this young man. I said, brother, who dreamed the dream? Let me tell you something about it, interpretation of dreams. You need to know who dreamed the dream. Remember about the dream that Joseph, when he was in prison, he heard from the dream of the baker and the dream of the cupbearer, right? Who dreamed those dreams? They're the ones that dreamed the dream, so they related to them, right? I said, who dreamed the dream? I asked him. You are the one that dreamed the dream. So how could it be that the green represents Sam and his church? And brown represents me and my church. You're the dreamer, you know. It deals with you. You do not represent the church because you are not a woman. The Bible always used a woman to represent the church, right? Never the man represent the church. Well, he won't listen. He asked me permission to preach one more message. And he said, go ahead. And he preached a fourfold ministry. And after that night, when he laughed, he called Sister Aggie, called some of the brother and sister in the church behind my back, and tried to tell them. And some of them were almost falling into that deception. I have to call them. And on Sunday, I know. I said, that brother called you up, right? He said, yeah. And what do you believe? He said, well, brother, I don't know. I'm confused. You see how it is that the devil could try to deceive? That man was deceived by the book that someone wrote. I think an American or Canadian man. So he was deceived. And you don't point to a deception and believe that because you are somebody, you wrote a song, therefore God give you the interpretation also. No. Sad. But he will believe the formal ministry, he loved the church. But the thing that offended me the most, I want to let you know, and hope you don't offend me over this issue. He came to me, he said, brother again, now that I have left you, he took along the people that he brought. And he said, and you have just resigned. We are leaving the church. Is the tithes and offering enough to support you? That's what offended me the most. I told him, brother, you go in peace. Yes, I just resigned. There was the amount of March, that's a full year, and you know, wasn't very long, just about a few months. I said, brother, if God did not call me to preach, I go back and do my nursing again. Start from the bottom up. You know, in government service, when you go back, you start from the bottom up. I won't go back and do my nursing. I said, if God didn't call me, He will not support me. I'll go back. So now talk to me about your ties supporting me. Your ties do not support me. Your ties support the ministry. Do you understand? It's God's ministry. It doesn't go into my bank account. Do you see that? God called the Levite for the ministry, right? They don't have any inheritance. They don't have any land. Do you know that? And God says, I am your inheritance. So my dependence is upon the Lord. You see? So the brother laughed and he tried to start his church. He tried to register a church and started it. It didn't work. After a few months, he's gone to Australia. You see, here when we have this deception, this thinking that, oh, I'm somebody. Sad. Chapter 4, verse 8 to 10, where we read. You see, verse 6, the last part, which is written that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who make thee to differ from one another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now if thou did receive it, why do thou glory as thou hast not received it? If you have received a gift from God as an evangelist, good, receive it. Stay in your position. If you have an ability of gift to play the piano, the organs, or instrument, or the gift to sing, glorify God in that. Now here we do not know how to sing very well, right? Nevertheless, it's our gift too. Just to sing to the Lord. Because as long as we have a voice, let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Bible did not say, let us make a perfect song, a singing unto the Lord. It just make a joyful noise. Be it the drum that you play, be it the pulpit that I'm playing, be it whatever it be it the foot that you're stomping. You make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You see? And when David was coming back with the ark and dancing before the Lord, you know, he stripped himself practically almost naked. There was no kingly garment on him. Why? Because there's only one king. And he was dancing before the Lord. Wow, I don't know how he danced. When a man who is not wearing practically anything, how does he dance? It looked like a madman, isn't it? But he couldn't care less. He just wanted to dance before the Lord and glorify God that the ark has returned back to Jerusalem. That's what it is all about. Be matured. If the man, if that brother have understand what maturity is, he will respect authority. But the problem is that we have is like Corinthian. A lot of believers are not matured. A carnal, giving interpretation to something that they do not know what. And I told him basically the first time he came, I said, brother, all I know is that the silver is the word of God. Let the Lord bring out the interpretation. There were several months down the road when brother Holding came that the interpretation was given at the pulpit. Guess he didn't hear it. Sometimes the Lord let things happen. But the thing is, when the thing happens, how do we deal with it? Look at the family of Abraham. You know, I always wonder, you know, all these months I've been studying on that. Wonder why did God choose a man like Abraham? Why? What's so special about why did he choose Abraham? And then the whole family are dysfunctional. But after Jacob break the curse of these familiar spirits of iniquity that came from Abraham to Isaac and down to Jacob. And finally when Jacob wrestled with the angel, the angel told him, your name will no longer be called a supplanter, a trickster. Because you have won your battle with man and with God. So your name shall be called Israel. And later on, when he had, how many children does he have? How many children did he have? 12. And one of them, plus one, a girl, Dinah. But you know, Israel, or before he was Israel, was Jacob. He loved only one woman, right? I mean, he loved only one woman. But he got how many? Four. How does this thing work? How does it work? Does God know what he was doing? Does God not know what he was doing when he elected, when he picked up Abraham? Did he know? Do you know the kind of man that Abraham was? Huh? He was not a perfect man. But he told Abraham, be perfect and walk before me. And be perfect. Then Isaac was born. Huh? See? All I had to think about was, the nice, what do you call that? Veal. Veal, huh? Venison, yeah, venison. Oh, I love the venison. He was blinded, he was so carnal to the food that he blinded his eyes, almost thwarting the plan of God. Huh. Jacob. Jacob was the second born. Esau had the birthright, right? How is it that the whole thing turned around and Jacob got a birthright? But Jacob stole it, right? But do you think it's right to steal someone's birthright? What was God doing? God was showing us, how much do you treasure your birthright? How much do you treasure your birthright? Every one of us have a birthright. The moment we are born again of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit, we have that birthright. They entitled us to the eternal life. Entitled us to be called a part of the family of God. Entitled to bear the name of Jesus Christ. Right? What did Jacob do now? Because Esau, God was trying to show us that even though the firstborn has the entitled to birthright, if he doesn't hold to that which is more important, it will be passed down to somebody else. Esau didn't think much about it. But Jacob knew the importance of that. So when he bought the birthright from Esau, now I got the birthright. What else? Well, birthright, that's all. What comes above birthright? What comes with the birthright? Blessings. Promises, blessing or promise. All that is there, including in the birthright. But all he got was the birthright. So he got to have the blessing. So what he going to do? Or else it's useless to him. That's why his mother knew what to do. Made him dress up and like a hairy Esau. And, you know, Isaac was just almost blind to a lot of things he couldn't see. Are you Esau? Yeah, I am. Your voice sounds like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. You know? Nevertheless, after eating what was cooked for him, he blessed Jacob. Right. When Esau came back, Isaac knew something was wrong. Something was wrong. You know what he said? He said, whatever the blessing has been pronounced, stays pronounced. Right? Whatever blessing has been invoked, it is invoked. You cannot change that. And so, Jacob had not just the birthright, but the blessing. Now, you and I have the birthright. Have you the blessing? Have you the blessing? A lot of people say, I have the problem I'm going to have, I'm a child of God. There are blessings that goes into it. Have you ever claimed it? Have you ever reached out to God and said, I want that which belongs to me? What belongs to you? The Word of God, the treasure book, that belongs to you. Every promise in the Word is mine, of God is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And all the blessing and His love divine is all in that. Are you going out to really grab it and take it from Him? Are we just going along? How can you ever be matured if you don't go along? And then you have Israel having 12 sons. Who was the firstborn? Reuben. But what did Reuben do? He was supposed to. How come he didn't get the birthright? What did he do? What did Reuben do? Come on. Yes, it's of his father's wife. What's that? See, the whole family of Abraham. All dysfunctional, But what God's trying to show us, that his family, you and me, we are not perfect. But God says, walk before me and be you perfect. So where did the birthright go? Where did the birthright go? It goes to Joseph. It went to Joseph. Judah. He had the what? He had the royal rights. Judah had the kingly line. But the boy brother went to Joseph. What is so special about Joseph? Judah, the promise that God gave to Abraham, the covenant that God made with Abraham are twofold. I'll make him what many nations of people, right? Secondly, kings are not deceived from your line. So in Israel, there will in Abraham's line, there must be a king. And will not cease to have a king. And the birthright goes to the multiplicity or the multiple of people also. Father Abraham had many sons. And the song used to be a kid song. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So let us just all praise the Lord. Are you a son of Abraham? You ought to be. Right? Yes. Because Father Abraham is father of many nations. But in the line of Abraham, come down to Israel, there must be a king. And that king line came from Judah. And they will never cease. That's why the British Israelite people think that the kingly line is still here on earth and it's in England. They said the king of England, the queen of England is that line. That's not true. The king has now shifted from the Old Testament to the New Testament of grace, and Christ is the king. It is because Christ being the king and being the Savior who died for us and sowed the seed, his seed, his life, that bring forth much fruit. That's why you and I can be sons of Abraham. Because of the promise, the treasure to him, that God gave it to him. And therefore we are sons of God because of what Christ did for us. And because of that, Jesus Christ himself is the king. Do you understand? These are the mystery of God that is hidden in the Word of God. And you cannot be understood if it wasn't for the wisdom of God that comes upon the church and upon his ministry to make this thing knowable. For to be able to expound this thing, make us to understand. You see? So maturity. For us to respect God, for us to understand about the family of God, we need to understand His Word and grow in it to be matured. So mature, then we can respect authority. I'm saying this to be true. There are many people that don't respect authority. And that is sad. Let us close with verse 14 and 15. Chapter 4. 14 and 15. I write not this thing to shame you, but as my beloved son, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you to the gospel. Simple understand, right? I write not this thing to shame you. You Paul here is saying that you may have many instructors. You may have many teachers, but you do not have many fathers. What is his father talking about? He's talking about the apostle. Paul said, I begotten you. And this is so true, many people do not understand. Do you know the importance of the apostolic ministry? Without the apostolic ministry, there is no proper foundation laid for many people. Now, Brother Charles Obund, who have been down to different parts of Uganda last month, give me a report. How the minister down there, when they have begun to understand the importance about the ministry, it's not just about Brother Branham. We are being brought out of the system into God's Word And therefore, we are now in the Word of God. Therefore, we must be perfected by the Word of God. And the only way to be perfected by the Word of God is the fivefold ministry. And you cannot have a fivefold ministry without the headship of the apostolic ministry. Because the churches are built, the church of Christ are built upon the foundation of the apostles, which was already laid for us. But look at what happened in the mess. So the apostle ministry must come back and stabilize the people again. Because the church is not yet perfect. And that's what God says to us, that we should be perfect. And the only way to be perfect is what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 onward, that the fivefold ministry was sent to us to perfect the saints. Right? For the work of the ministry and so on and so forth. But yet we can read it. But still many of us don't get it. And for those who understood, they said, now we realize the importance of the apostle ministry. Otherwise, different ones will go their own direction. And certainly we do not want to do that. Because there is only one will, one purpose of God in the life of His people. And as He told Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. So that means, like you and I, we're not perfect. But God says, walk before me and be perfect. And the only way to be perfect is to walk before God in His word. Abraham in those days does not have the Bible. They were the beginning of God's doing something new. And they were the one, as the Bible said, they left their footprints on the set of time for us to follow. We have something to look at. The example of the saints of old, how they walked before the Lord, how they suffered. We have the example for us to able to see how and why they fail. And how important it is for us not to follow that way that they are going, but the way that they should be going, and which they did as God began to mold and shape their life. From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to all those 12 sons. And look at Simeon and Levi. They're just because of one Canaanite man slept with their sisters. They went mad and started killing all those in Shechem. Isn't that terrible? But that's the way it is. So that they are, in the family of God, they are dysfunctional people. Are we all not dysfunctional sometime? So let us get right with the Word of God and walk in His light. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Thank You for Your Word, Father. We are still learning, Lord. We are still learning. Abraham to Abraham. Isaac opened his eyes in the last minute to realize he almost thwart Your plan. Jacob, he thought he was a great deceiver perhaps and supplanter until he met Laban. That there are someone always who is far more conniving than he will ever be. And then later on we see all those 12 sons. Some of them, Lord, are doing things so contrary. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and even Judah. Yet You allow him, Lord, to marry a Canaanite woman. But yet, Lord, he realized his folly too. But most of all, there was this Joseph. Oh, Lord, how that we should be like Joseph. Holding on to our birthright. and receive your promise. That we should be full of joy, full of your blessing, all that which you have promised. So therefore, Lord, help us to learn and grow in thy grace. We thank you, Father, for your word. Bless the rest of this day now. In Jesus' name, amen.